Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. We're back again for another jam-packed episode of recapping the last week's episodes of Keith and the Girl. Get it? Last week on Keith and the Girl. Last week on Keith and the Girl. And I'm your host, Bianca Brady. Get it? My name's Bianca Brady. And I'm here with Keith and Hemda. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Do you get it?
I think I follow.
Do you understand?
Do you know how many episodes you have of this show?
I don't know, 79,000 million? And or is it 3,150?
And people are like just getting it now?
I think it's 83 or something. Do you guys get it? Do you understand? I don't know. Hemda, do you get it?
Sometimes. Yeah,
I rarely, if ever, do I get it.
Well, I go to keithandthegirl.com/forums, of course, and that's where you can write about every show, including VIP shows. And I look at three down, I see right away, Talk Shite, where people can just talk about anything, Show Talk, where they talk about Keith and the Girl, and then Last Week on KATG is right there. And the last episode was episode 91. You Whoa. Are now on episode 92.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. That's about 2 years almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How long have I been hanging out with you guys?
Been a
while, right?
It's been a bit.
Seems like just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I knocked on the door with my little face.
Hat in your hand.
I said, "Excuse me, I'm interested in podcasting. I like to do typing. I can print with the best of them. Mm-hmm. Need me to highlight an article? You got it." And that's what I did.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Do you remember your first impression of walking in?
I was like, I'm overdressed for this interview. That's definitely... Yeah, that was my first impression.
Was Keith in the room?
No, it was just Hemda and Andrea.
Okay.
And somebody else who was...
We decided at some point that me and Andrea would spare the interviewees from Keith sitting there during the interview reading a newspaper barefoot. So you're welcome.
You shouldn't have, though, because then maybe I wouldn't have taken it. And then I wouldn't have to do this right now. Just kidding. I love
sure.
it.
We have a good time.
And you're my best friend, Keith.
Thank
Everyone
you.
Knows it.
Thank you.
How's everybody feeling today?
Good. Yeah, but there's no point in me for the interviews, because if I hear you say two sentences that sound good and make sense, you're good. You know, you can staple something. And if you can't, then right away you're bad. And the ladies can figure that part out themselves.
Oh, is that really how you feel about it?
Yeah.
It seems like you have more particulars than anyone. So you would probably want to be more in the mix.
No, I'd give a glass of water. If you don't eat the glass, I can give you a shot.
And
you know,
then
the rest is up to Hendon and Andrea.
And then in terms of employees that you've had.
Oh, I regret it sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to give everybody a chance.
Right. But you're of the mind where like, well, nothing I can do about it now. Mm-hmm. He works here.
Yeah.
Like that. Yes. I hate him. Mm-hmm. And he can't do anything right, but he does work here.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do?
Right.
Employment.
Mm-hmm. I understand the importance of it.
You really have sat there while Andrea and I are talking to this potential new person.
Yeah.
You're highlighting newspapers and we're like, yeah, Keith will be around, but this is what it's going to look like. Just yeah. like as a...
I don't want you to be surprised. I will ignore you.
Yeah. Don't expect him to talk to you.
Unless the mics are on.
Unless you are on the show.
Like I come in and I'm just like, oh, Keith, I got to tell you. He's like, shh, turns on the mics about my weekend here.
Well, we all love it, Keith.
Thank
you know, we're all as we know, we're all very proud of you. And
Thank
we're
you.
All excited about what you've created here. Mm-hmm. 15 years in podcasting.
If I cared more, you might not be here right now and I won't get this fabulous show.
I was
show.
Extremely overqualified for the internship position.
That's actually very true. So. You might have been the most qualified.
I think I would be here regardless.
I think so, yeah. I think that if he was in the interview, he would just quit and let you have it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to talk about the Eppies?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay. 3,234. You've been at this a while.
A bit.
You have been putting out some like 15 years in podcasting, social media stuff, fun stuff. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're already following on everything.
I don't know why you wouldn't. You're missing our stories where the guests first walk in and we sort of like interview them in quotes. Basically, I yell something at them. And
Andrea like kind of pans over to Keith and he's not saying anything.
Yeah, right.
It's a classic Keith.
You get to find out what it's like if you worked here. Wonder what it's like at Keith and the girl. Oh, there's Keith's head. That's what it's like.
And what does Keith think? He doesn't.
Right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. That's great. So Jake Flores and Alex Patak.
Yes.
Some trivia from Apia on the forums. Patak means bird in Polish. Mm. And I am really glad that we know that now. And Alex Bird. Just like Larry Bird.
Right.
Only not as good at basketball.
I just wish I knew.
Give him a chance.
If she sees our calendar, she would have saw that Alex Bird was going to be on our show. I really wish I knew that information ahead of time. I probably would have done the interview differently.
You think?
Who knows?
He would have been like, tweet, tweet, tweet.
Yeah.
And he would have been like, what?
I might have whistled him everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Plate of worms. I don't know.
I liked that episode, you guys. Living in a glue factory. Crazy tarp system, crazy funnel system.
I wasn't exaggerating when I mentioned that place when we did his podcast, Poddam America.
You got to look at the pictures.
The glue is in the air. And I didn't realize what it was at the time. I thought maybe something was freshly painted. He has to be high all the time. Has to be. I'm not exaggerating.
Saves money on weed.
His dreams must be out of this world.
Yeah, and I was listening and looking at the photos, and I was listening to the episode, and I was thinking, like, you know, I've lived in New York for a long time now, you know, about 14 years, and I don't think that would, I mean, how much can you be paying for that? I would be like free or I'm moving, you know?
Yeah.
I just think it's...
It sounds like for a while it was allegedly free.
Allegedly. Oh, right. And then my favorite also part of the interview is him like, this is all parody, allegedly, right. allegedly. It's a joke and right. I'm not going to get in trouble. Legal parody, but parody here, law.
But here's more parody talk. This judge keeps putting my file on the bottom so I can live there and not have hassle. I'm a guy, so I've lived in shitty places and took less than ideal environments. I've had guys as roommates, meaning nobody cares to clean up or anything.
I've had my shower next to my kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've showered in the kitchen sink. I've had, I remember saying, guys, I think I have athlete's foot. Anybody have this problem? They'll go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like nobody wanted to say anything until somebody said it first because none of us cleaned up.
Ew.
And we didn't clean up because it's overwhelming. Why do I have to be the one cleaning up? So nobody cleans up. My point being, that glue factory would be too much for me.
Yeah.
But good for him.
I don't know. That glue factory was no better than the place I first met you in.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, God. Wow. Shots fired.
I know.
Let me tell you about this place, can I?
Please, go on.
Okay. Shit everywhere. Always dishes in the sink. The bathroom, was there a cleaning schedule? No, there wasn't. Do you want to know where the bathroom was? The one bathroom with the shower and the toilet and the sink, all of it?
Keith's
one
mouth? I don't know.
Pretty much. It was in Keith's room.
Oh, like an ensuite.
Yes.
Don't make it sound nice.
Exactly. Like
in other words, we just finished doing things that people do when they're together and together. And luckily we're on a loft because his roommate just comes in because he has to use the toilet. So just comes through his bedroom, goes to the disgusting shower that I don't think I ever used.
Wow.
So I just go home.
So what was your argument for being there, Hamda?
Oh, he's so funny.
Okay.
So that's funny. Nice. And then you give him like a 40, even funner. So yeah, my role was the enabler.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit, apparently.
Yeah. How many roommates was that?
Didn't your loft bed fucking fall on everything underneath it?
Yeah, but I wasn't under it.
No, okay.
Were you on it?
I was on it. Was I on it? I don't
remember. Were you on it, Hamda?
No. This was, I think, a different apartment that fell. No, it could have been this one. Who knows? It ended with him bleaching his roommate's clothes, like just throwing bleach on his clothes.
What?
He stole money from me.
Oh,
and is acting like the clothes were so dirty.
I was getting to it.
He stole money from you, so you just put.
I bleached those clothes.
Splashed bleach on his clothes.
And how do you know for sure that he stole money? Because Keith.
I wrote jokes on it. I wanted to write down an idea. I didn't have paper, so I wrote it on there, and then I found his money. That was my money.
Well, you went into his room and took it, right?
Yeah.
And said, like, hey, if this has the writing on it, it's mine. Yeah, so he stole money from him.
And you confronted him?
No.
I think you moved into my best friend's house.
Yes.
Yeah, because she happened to need a roommate.
So you didn't say anything. No,
I just bleached the stuff.
Poured bleach on the stuff.
Because it's
something else also.
Because then I want him to...
Oh, yeah. There's a because.
Well, I peed in his drawers, too.
Oh.
There's a because.
But I can't say you stole money from me, but I didn't bleach all your stuff and piss in the drawers. Now you're just missing the money, and there's bleach and piss. I don't want an apology.
How much money are we talking?
60, I feel like.
Oh, that's it? I think it was more.
Maybe.
I think it was more, and I think it wasn't the first time, which is why you looked in there, because you had been missing money.
It affected rent. I remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was Davis, yeah.
One Eye Davis, yeah. If you recall the story, yes.
Long-time listeners will know One Eye Davis from stories about his one eye.
He's still got five fingers on each hand,
okay.
If you know what I mean.
Okay.
I think he took your whole wage one time. I don't know. It was really fucked up. It affected, like...
It affected rent.
Your
I remember
living,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was not just an isolated incident of a great guy who... Stole.
I don't think stealing from your roommate is an isolated incident.
No.
I just don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Roommates is tough. But does Jake live there with other people?
Yes. He has three roommates.
But one of them was an artist who put all the satanic stuff around and then
she left.
Or the
she
ex
left.
Yeah, the ex liver was, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's acting like he's stuck with it.
I know.
He can't take a broom to the place.
Well, he said he keeps taking stuff out and it still looks like he hasn't done anything because there was that much stuff.
Yeah, you got to spend a little more time. So yeah. I don't know.
Maybe take a weekend.
I thought it was hilarious though, Keith, when you were like, how exciting for you. How fun.
How old are you? I'm an adult.
Oh my gosh.
And you keep yourself young.
In your 30s.
Sniffing glue all day.
Educated and employed. Yeah. Wow.
If somebody saw you sniffing glue, they would find you a degenerate and disgusting. But here you could just walk around sniffing it all day long. That is exciting.
I can't believe he doesn't have a splitting headache from all those fumes.
I guess you get used to it.
I can't believe they don't warn you that the door you're going to come up on. Because remember, I was like, soon I came in there first and I texted Keith right away. I was like, just text me or call me when you get here because you're thinking you're walking into, like, I don't know, an actual squatter's thing and you might get in trouble because it's...
Keith's used to walking into places he's not supposed
That's
to
true.
Be.
That's true.
Because he just got lost and ended up there.
I ended up there and I went, here I go again. Let's see what house... Where is this?
Next thing you know, you're the landlord.
Yeah.
They should give a little more of a heads up though, right?
Yes.
They're like, it's the door on the right. I'm like, it was not... The door on the right. There are several doors on the right. This is maybe the second door on the right.
And every door looks the same because it's all graffiti.
Yes.
Over. Yeah.
Yes.
And not people's names.
It's so exciting.
It's so exciting.
Oh, baby.
No one can find your place. Like, what are we going to do? Your friend could be in the neighbor's house.
But you know what's interesting about the neighborhood? Very industrial. Very reminds me of Williamsburg before the boom. And it's got nothing around except for, and this is how you know this neighborhood is coming. You know, coming up next, one block away, there's this like artisanal coffee space where when they make you a cappuccino, they make a design in the foam.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does not fit in at all. The pastries are all French and it's like this small little cafe and, you know, it's probably pricey. I don't know. It's probably just regular New York prices. But like across the street is just like... industrial nothing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And just buildings, maybe construction, but it hasn't even gotten to like that block yet. So it's just...
Yeah, you know you played yourself when you're paying $6 for coffee and like looking out onto what looks like a war zone.
Right. Exactly.
This was the dream. Showbiz, baby.
But at the same time, no bodega in sight. So if you want coffee, you can't get the plain regular, like, you know, happy to serve you coffee. So that's the only place around.
creepy.
Well, it was funny when Jake came in here and he's like, he's going, and I'm nervous, like, there's something smelling here. And he goes, and I go, what's wrong? And he says, I smell nothing. he finds that odd.
He's like, got any glue? I mean, nice to see you.
I mean, your hair is different.
You guys talked about the dad stuff, the big, fuck you, dad email that you sent to him. And everybody was like in the room like, oh, my God.
Yeah, this could be the end of the dad emails, right? So now it's.
They were so much fun with it, by the way.
They were so excited fun. And a great, great sounding board.
Right in there. I love them.
Yeah, you don't know if people will somebody be all excited about this story. I mean, picture you live your life and you're always on glue. Like, for something to even interest you, it's got to be a big deal,
right?
It's
be good.
So that's exciting that they cared.
It's like Medicare for all and catfishing your own dad.
So it's the beginning of March now. February 19th, I wrote my dad, hey, it's been a bit since we've talked. How have you been?
It's like a fresh email.
Right. He wrote back, fairly well. Who was asking? Mm. I won't be fooled again. I'm doing fairly well. Between shitting my pants and being nervous that my wife knows that I said my libido jingles from your ex.
And I like that he keeps on brand with asking his potential trickster, who is this?
Be honest, though. Who is this? Right? It's not Keith or Kat, right? It's Keith, your son, who you certainly respect and who wouldn't try to trick and lie to and be completely inappropriate behind his back. And then on top of it, when it's clear that you've actually been communicating with him the whole time instead of his ex-wife, your ex-daughter-in-law tried to turn things around as if he was the bad guy and not you, who studied morality for a living. That's who. Where's the confusion?
And I gotta say, a lot of times you're like, I bet my dad's shitting his pants. And I'm like, he could still twist this around. Like, people are really good at, you know, making themselves believe what they want. But with this, if you don't shit your pants, you're like a real true sociopath.
Yeah.
That would, it'd be like, cum was just in there.
And so nothing has, what? I blacked out again. So nothing new has happened since then.
Wow. Yeah. But you have talked to your mom.
And my mom happened to write today. How's my wonderful son?
And how is he?
I didn't get to it yet, so I'm not
sure.
Did
you ask Ken?
Right.
I don't know the names.
I do think she sends it out to everybody, all her kids, and then whoever answers first gets to learn her pooping schedule.
Yeah.
But now she's, we still text, and he's still not communicating. Not that I reached out again, but this could be it.
You should just start trolling him with, like, super nice emails.
Right.
I was just thinking about you. Remember that time when we were young?
Right.
And you got mad at me for, what was it again? Well, who can remember? And you asked me to dig a hole. Now, that hole, that lesson that I learned from that hole, Dad, dear old Dad, I can't even begin to describe the lessons that were imparted to me from you that really just seeped directly into my soul and made me into the man I am today. And it's all because of you that I am who I am and that I am capable of what I am capable of.
That's so smart, because then he can't sue because it's his fault that Keith is like that.
Right. Like, he'd be like, I would tend to agree. Your good qualities are because of me.
It hurts him to type.
Insofar as you have any, which you must, because you
are my son.
His wonders to perform, I don't know.
Head explodes. In the army, they said, we're going to make a trench. And I said, I know how to do that. Yeah. It's like a little tiny 3-foot hole, but bigger. So I just made a bunch of connecting holes.
Yeah,
I was the champ.
We're all like picturing little Keith digging holes every here and again, right? It's like so creepy. Just in the nighttime, in the middle of like the country in Pennsylvania. Oh, I bet there was an American flag flying somewhere, corn everywhere.
Were there any cars on your lawn?
Every car worked. We didn't have the luxury. Oh, fuck no.
What, you had a broken down car in your lawn?
We had a broken van for sure.
You just realized it and you got so upset.
Big yellow van that we played in like it was a treehouse, all rusty and shit.
Oh my God. Did you pretend to be like van guy?
Yeah, I was van guy.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, the bucket seats.
Yeah.
You know, the big wheel.
And you were like, come on, guys, we're doing van game.
The gears, of course, are on the side of the steering wheel.
Were there rules about playing in the van?
Yeah, or? Don't. Oh. But we did.
Was it unlocked?
We could get in.
Yeah.
Anyone could get in. Anyone.
Did you know how country you were?
No.
No.
No, I just, it wasn't until not too long ago when I realized what a bad cook my mom was. I thought she was good. And then I realized I didn't realize spices until I was 35.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
I think that was Blue Apron, right?
Maybe, yeah. I'm like, oh, salt and pepper on everything.
What?
Wow. I see why Spain did fight for this stuff.
Yeah. I have good. A friend, her mom was not exposed to many flavors. And the first time she had ketchup, she was like, it's so spicy. And her mouth was on fire.
Oh, wow.
Because
wow.
of ketchup. Which I guess is just absolutely blown away by that story.
America.
I know.
Mm. Yeah, I have to assume we had ketchup, but we definitely didn't have mayonnaise. We didn't have mustard.
Did you have... Hello?
Hey, what's going on? You happen to be on last week on Keith and the Girl. If it's a telemarketer, now's a bad time or a great time.
Hello?
How are you doing?
Hello?
Hi, hello. Who's this?
Oh,
wrong number.
So did you have the real ketchup? Did you have Heinz or ketchup packets from McDonald's that your mom stole?
We would have had something generic from the store. Mm. But that would have been the only thing we had.
Ketch app?
I think there was a cat.
Sup.
There's a picture of a cat. And that was it.
Cat saying, sup.
Yeah.
So basically, your dad would get so annoyed that you were making fun of the cat in its presence. Mm-hmm. He would slit the cat's throat, and we would use its blood to season our cheeseburgers.
That sounds more familiar.
How old were you the first time you had Chinese food?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You still haven't had it?
Oh, I'm hearing of
it's
it.
Delicious.
And then this virus is coming around, and I'm like, I'm never going to know. After 18, probably.
Oh, my goodness. Hemda, how about you?
I had it. Growing up, not a lot. My mom didn't like us eating out, but when we did eat out, we would go to a kosher Chinese restaurant.
Cute. Mm-hmm.
And my dad, we didn't order like you get your meal. I never had the experience of like going to a place and going like I'll have the. My dad would be like, here are 10 dishes. He'd put them all in the center, and I love that. But it was weird. I started dating this guy in college, and it was the first time I was really dating someone. And he's like, let's go to this diner because it's close and whatever. And we had just started like hanging out. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, there's food at home. This is such a waste of money. You know, because my mom was just like, if we would go out, she'd be like, I could have made all this for $5. And I'm like, very enjoyable, mother. And I ended up ordering home fries because I knew that was like just the cheapest, because I felt so guilty sitting in a place where they're making me food and charging me so much.
Yeah.
Turns out that's a ball of fun.
Right.
That's like my favorite thing. It's always been my favorite thing.
It's nice.
I would beg to go out to eat when I was little.
I knew not to even.
Yeah, I don't, you know, every once in a while we'd have Burger Nosh, the kosher Burger King by our place.
Cute. Mm-hmm.
That was a treat and a half. If my mother was in the mood for, she liked a McDonald's sundae. If she was in the mood, she'd be like, I'm in the mood for a McDonald's sundae. We're like, we're in the car already. That was the only time we were allowed the ice cream.
I was told Somerset didn't have restaurants.
I was there. They don't.
Your Somerset, the greatest town of all the towns.
Oh, it's the number one everything in that town. My dad would say number one everything.
Like my big fat Greek wedding, and how like the guy said Greeks did this and Greeks did that.
Yes,
Somerset chins.
We had the number the restaurant by us that was number one in the world. Number one what? It's not a chain restaurant. Exactly. Now, come back when you have a serious question, son. He said presidents and
Ronald Reagan, in particular,
would stop by Oakhurst Tea Room. This restaurant happened to be my first job as a dishwasher.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. What's weird is that they didn't want to put pictures up of all the presidents and superstars, but they were there. Grace Kelly, everybody.
Your whole town would just be full of Secret Service, like your whole town of two blocks.
Yeah.
They can't fit.
Right.
The president in your town.
I'm like, I don't think it ever happened. Nobody talks about it. Like,
no. Yeah,
it certainly happened, my son. Why you think I'm always trying to get you? I don't understand. Ruby Tuesdays, when I was over there not too long ago, number one Ruby Tuesdays in the world.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Now, what could that mean? I don't know. He didn't like a thing there. But anyway.
Didn't they try to have a Dunkin' Donuts there and it failed? Or something.
Dunkin' Donuts. Things switch over fast.
Or Starbucks. Because the people in your hometown don't want to spend extra money on the stuff. Like,
right.
They are the people who are cooking home meals and
right.
going to church on Sunday. So the only time those places are full are right after Sunday church, right?
Yes.
Mm. And then you just go to, like, one of the two places available. So
Oakhurst Tea Room. I heard that's good.
That is good. I'll tell you. George Washington.
Okay.
Abraham Lincoln. The whole Mount Rushmore.
All the greats.
Yeah.
What was the poll?
The poll was, thank
something
you for asking.
Something about glue.
For significantly lower rent, and I believe he pays a couple hundred, would you live in Jake's building / glue factory? 15% say yes.
Okay.
85% say no.
Hey, it's rock and roll, man.
I don't know.
I'd learn a guitar.
Yeah, I feel like you can find a better situation if you just look around a little bit more. You can
not for that price. I mean, not for that price, but it's fine. Like,
I don't know.
You don't have to sniff glue to live here.
They drink a lot, and I don't blame them. It hides the voices.
I think you can for that price. You just have to look a little harder than poisoning yourself.
Right.
You just have to bathe an old person.
Yeah, that too. Okay. I would rather do that than sniff glue.
I really would. And I worked in one of those homes for a little bit. I rather would wipe an asshole.
That's fair.
Every now and again than live in the glue factory.
Every now and again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
I mean, I'd work on their diet.
Okay, you take a turn now wiping it. Okay, moving on.
Yes. Please.
We have to talk about Plug It In with Don Jameson.
Yes.
This guy seems like a famous guy who I've never heard of.
Okay.
Maybe it's my own ignorance, I know, but he's like a rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
And roll comedian?
He's a comedian that loves rock and roll.
Cool. Same.
Yeah. But he was big in the metal community because he would interview all the greats.
VH1 Classic. Mm-hmm. As that metal show, and it was him and his buddy Jim Florentine. They both kind of have the same voice, I feel like.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And Eddie Trunk, a old school rock and roll DJ. And so, yeah, it was one of the few places, if the only place, that, you know, these hair metal bands. And
like that they took them seriously enough to sincerely interview.
Yes.
Yeah. They were really, I mean, it was a good show. And I think those guys were like the right people to do it because they really knew about the music. Yeah, and they cared.
He was a great guest. I thought he was really, like, you know, listening, flowing, mostly to Keith. He wasn't really talking to Hemda.
That's rock and roll.
Like Hemda would say something and he would kind of be like, yeah, yeah. But Keith's name is in the title. Did you get that feeling?
You know, it's funny that I didn't because But that is a very old school way. Like when we first started podcasting, that would happen almost exclusively.
Yeah.
I would get in touch with the guests, book them, set the time up. The only person that they had been in touch up until they met us or saw us again was me. And then they would just like face Keith. But at the same time.
And even when they come in before the show starts, I'm reading the newspaper.
Yeah. No shoes on.
And yet still, when the show would start, it was all me.
Do you ever notice that in the recording? Like, do you ever get that sense? That somebody's really only talking to you. Not necessarily this guy, because I think he, after a while, kind of was more open.
I can usually tell during the show.
Do you try to make it so that, do you try and do like, Hemda said that also, and she thinks that? Or do you right. just kind of let them, like, what's your tactic in that moment?
I can't think of an idea, but I can easily see going, well, Hemda's point is, or to her point, like that.
But I think that's like, I think that's a good question for me to think about. And I think Keith is, very weird for me to say this, always feminist in those spaces. He
fucking has, pussy.
I think he's always treated me like this partner person.
I try to treat her like one of the guys.
Nice.
It's nice. But yeah, this is an old school person. I was a little nervous having him on because these old school guys, it's exactly that. It's, you know, they kind of fall into this thing that they're used to from back in the day.
Me Too going to be too far, you know, et cetera.
What can I say? Right.
Yeah. And in fact, I don't know if you caught it at the end.
He did a little like, it was a little questionable. I forget the exact subject. Remind me again.
Are you going to be, nowadays you're supposed to be woke.
I can't all learn all the words.
Yeah, I wake and bake.
And
I'm like, okay, sounds good. Bye.
And record.
Yeah.
You were cool.
No,
we love metal. We love it. We love you.
It's basically what happened. We were like, okay, and that was a fun show. Goodbye. It's fun first and last appearance. If you talk anymore.
I don't know, though. It's like such a thing with stand-up comedy, especially kind of like the way it's evolving from those real, or I don't know, I could be just talking out of my ass, but like the setup punchline guys of like the 80s and 90s, when they try to make jokes about like, and I'm an old man, so I don't know anything, right. Or like they think that they're punching up because they're like the old guy and they feel like they're on, you know, the defensive in that, like, I'm not woke, I wake and bake because right. I'm a fucking whatever. But it's like,
I can't even set my VCR.
I can't do anything because I'm an old white man. It's like, well, no, you're the, this is what we're trying to say. It's like, you're not the victim in the, you know, in this world anymore. So it's kind of, it always seems to fall a little flat, but then it's kind of endearing at the same time because it's like, that's their perspective. Like, you're still allowed to be insecure if you're a white guy of a certain age.
But why don't they seem so secure with it?
Right. Like if every day I caught myself saying, I don't know the capital of Africa, well, eventually I'm going to find it out. So for 2 years, you won't hear me go, what is fluidity?
Right.
It's probably online.
Yeah. Did you ever Google the capital of Africa?
Ghana, probably. But how am I supposed to know?
Today I Googled, where is Curacao?
See?
So now we know it's off of it. It's an island off Venezuela in the Caribbean Sea. I don't know. I don't make the rules of what you have to Google.
Right. You can, like, you can do what applies to you.
Yes, you can read.
Right.
I need to know geographically where certain islands are.
But I need to know what the capital of a continent is.
Exactly.
But if you keep saying, how dare you? If you keep asking the question, look it up. You're the one who asked the question. Amen.
It was very sweet. Afterwards, he was like, oh, wow, that was fun. Like, all podcasts should be like that. You could set, because I know that he was a little nervous because he probably did know that we were a little more lefty than he, or a little more, you know, liberal. Mm-hmm. And I think he was always waiting for maybe mostly me to just be like, really, you said that? And we didn't do any of that because it's like, say whatever you want.
Well, also, Ken and I, I'm a man, she's a woman, and our desks, what? Our desks are equal size.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think that made him nervous.
That's why we moved. Yeah. His desk was way too big for too long.
Yeah, it was. I agree.
Yeah.
Got in his head.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of Keith's classic bummer news stories episodes. And I think even Don at one point was like, geez, another story such as this. And I was like, you're telling us, Don, you know, as a listener.
We have to live in it.
Yeah, this is.
You got a break, if anything. your murder story had, they played a little stand up.
I know. So crazy, that story.
The comedian that killed the doctor.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Clue
right?
thing. But yeah.
Tonight, I thought the comedian that killed the doctor. No laughing matter.
He did well with those stories, I thought.
Yeah, he was like, he's not even fun. I don't remember what he said. It was great.
Well, I'll tell you, it's something I need to Google. Why do restraining orders end?
Oh, yeah.
I can see why maybe a judge wouldn't want to give it while he's the dad, or you guys work in the same neighborhood. How's that gonna work out? But once you go, yeah, there's enough proof or evidence that I give a restraining order, why do you put a minimum amount onto it?
I think what happens is you request it for a certain amount of time.
How about forever?
I think it's like a jail cell, right? So if you get convicted, you don't always go to jail forever. You're supposed to be rehabilitated. So if you
so
have...
So you'll be rehabilitated, but then you can see me. You can insist on knocking on my door again.
That's the
thing.
That
you want to do that, you get resensed.
Yeah, but supposedly, you know, this thing dissipates between you two because who holds on to grudges?
Then I'll take it away. I'll take the restraining order away. Withdrawn.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I think Don's point was really good that, like, Twitter, you can block someone and it's not like that, you know.
Right. That can be for life.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, there's not... It's like so scary to think about an obsessive ex.
Well, how about the listener that wrote in saying she works in a flower shop and people they won't give anonymous flowers to people.
That's a good idea.
Everybody's so crazy.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I broke everything in your house. I'm gonna tape 4 dozen roses to your door and you're gonna go, ah.
How about in the movies in the past, and I'm hoping they stop doing this kind of, you know, thing, I'm in love with you and I just want you to know you walk into your own home and it's full of your favorite flowers. I'd be like so nervous. I would leave the house right away, call the police. You fucking came into my house and decided, and now I got to clean all these flowers.
That's after the credits. They show us throwing out the dead flowers, right? Sweeping under the bed.
It's so bizarre and it's so obsessive. So even if you're sending it to somebody's office, I work here. I don't need this fucking funeral-sized flower arrangement here.
Right.
It's a very weird expression of love that we were like, aw, for a very long time.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Fuck
Although,
it.
If you want to get me flowers, I will take them because I think they're beautiful.
They are beautiful.
But
just don't break into my
house.
Yeah.
You have to say, Bianca.
Right.
It is I. And then state your name.
And how I know you.
Birthday, social security number, mother's maiden name, name of your first pet. And then you say, here is a beautiful bouquet. And then you say all the names of the flowers and the scientific names. And that's when I know you're serious.
Have you ever had someone give you a restraining order? Was the poll? One person said yes.
I want to hear that story. What's my name show.com.
Well, he works in a hat airbrushing factory. And yeah, whatever these
is that next week's stories, Keith?
Yeah.
You're getting ahead.
So one person, one listener said, yeah, I have. But follow up, please.
Yeah, we want to hear about you.
I have the end.
These are the limitations of your science experiments.
I know. We can't get to the bottom of it.
Oh, all right, moving on.
Yes, but it's almost up.
Parasite with Billy Procida and Andrea Allen. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the first time that I have come. How many episodes has it been?
91. 91.
93.
92. 93, something in there.
Right.
And this is the first time that I have failed to do all of my homework. I did fast forward through the Parasite part because I did want to see it. And I was like planning on seeing it before I listened to this episode. And then, you know what? It just got away from me, Keith.
That's fair.
I'm sorry. And I fast forward, ding, ding, ding. Class warfare. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Right.
So, listen, I'm against it.
Right.
I don't like it, class warfare.
Not a fan.
And that's what I have to say about Parasite.
Right. What warfare do you like? Warfare on rudeness?
Yes.
Are you planning on seeing it in the theater? Because I saw it at home.
I was thinking of it because it's still in the theater near my house. Mm. Maybe I'll go tonight.
That's fun.
It's good.
I know you loved it, but I did see Jojo Rabbit.
How good is that?
I liked it.
Oh,
I thought it was really weird and like a little disturbing and very like kind of creepy. And I liked it. Especially, did you see it yet, Hemda?
I saw the beginning of it.
Okay. Especially the parts that I'm...
You're never going to see it.
Eh. I might. Yeah. Probably not.
No.
She stopped at the beginning and she might. She used my Apple ID.
I got tired.
That's fine. That's fine. The Oscars are over. No point. It's fine. No, I liked it. And I thought when I heard, because last time I was here, I heard you say that you loved it and that it was perfect.
Yes.
And so that's why I went into it being like, I wonder what this movie's like. Mm-hmm. And now that I have that as like, that's a perfect movie, that and The Sixth Sense, I'm just even more confused
right.
about who you are, your
taste and their affiliations.
And I mean, it's just like every day is a mystery to behold.
Yeah, I contain multitudes.
I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. Hamda?
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. You have to be complicated to find everything so simple. Right.
And Billy Presida was there too.
Yes.
What?
Huh?
He has so, speaking of woke.
Yeah.
Woke versus wake and bake. It's like he has all the vocabulary.
He has words, yeah.
He knows how to say stuff.
He does.
About like queer rights.
Yeah.
But then once he's talking, you're like,
huh?
And he's never, it's like he's being deposed in like a legal case. He's like, I do not recall the exact circumstance of the time by which.
As per.
And Keith's like, okay, well, maybe if you could just give an example of how you act when you're angry. You know, like right. You ask him a general question, he's like, you'd have to point me to the evidence. Right. You'd have to point me to Exhibit A.
Yeah.
I don't.
Like I'm his dad and I'm going, what did you do wrong? But I only know one thing and you might play yourself.
Yeah, I just don't. He's like so on the defensive and then makes like these outlandish sorts of blanket statements about.
The government should be nicer. I'm like, no, I'm asking, do you tip?
Class warfare. I don't know. Yeah, and then.
We should have called it class warfare.
Right, right.
The tipping thing was so weird.
So people thought that I was maybe aggressive, that I'm not listening.
Ugh, people. Come on. Don't say that about what Hemda was being. She was frustrated because she wasn't getting an answer. She was like, I mean, I was frustrated.
Right. We talk about this a little bit the following week, but is he deliberately bamboozling us? That's the side I'm on. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's a goddamn trickster. Or is he on the spectrum?
And by
I'm
the
not
way,
sure
he,
which one it is.
He texted me and he said, I vote spectrum. So
okay.
He voted for the spectrum.
Well, why is it one or the other?
I can't think of what else there could be. Does he mean it or not mean it?
Yeah, but why does not meaning it mean spectrum?
Then it's just crazy. Then you know we're talking about tipping, not should the government pay a living wage. You know what we're talking about. You deliberately changed the argument so you can be right. Why did that happen? Because your brain doesn't know better or because you're a goddamn liar?
I think liar. Mm-hmm. Trickster.
See, we're on his side.
Oh, I think it's just a social norm because it's just he knows he has a good point. And he wants to make sure that's going out, but it's not coming out in this argument. So
right, but a part of arguing, a part of debating is making the argument that you're trying to make. It's like you can't.
Yeah, he missed the mark.
No, he didn't just miss the mark. And sorry to get serious mm-hmm. in tone. If you're arguing something and you're saying, I think that a server should make a living wage. I think that policymakers should implement this, that, and the third in order to restructure the payment system for people in the service industry. And then somebody asks you, well, given the current state of things as they are now, when you go to a restaurant and you don't have the money, he's like, you should be allowed to. It's like, okay, well, you think that somebody should make a living wage. But in this scenario where we live now, aka the real world, this is the only way that they will make a living wage, but you don't have to pay them. The government does. But when it comes down to what you have to do, you abdicate yourself of all responsibility.
You're right.
In
I
the
was
moment.
Trying to be nice.
And then also, you fail to make the argument because you know that you're being selfish in that moment because, right. And then he started saying like, well, what if I lost my job and I went to go get a burger? And it's like, if you're eating at the restaurant, you factor in how much you tip in this world that we live in where servers do not make a quote living wage. And what
it doesn't mean that you don't get to have a burger. It means that you don't get somebody waiting on
and why it. Are you implying that you left a note at a rest that never happened?
That was the most insane thing I ever
oh
heard.
I thought he said he did do
never
that.
Happened
I got that wrong
I mean,
I would kill you if I was a server and you left me a message.
You need a note now.
Now you're
just a fucking weirdo that I gotta watch out if you come back to my restaurant.
Exactly. Because
that is weird shit.
Exactly.
Love Billy.
But it doesn't matter to me, like, if your position is that you shouldn't have to tip because it's not required, then make that argument.
Right.
You know, don't try and have it both ways where you're getting to eat a burger and not tipping, but you're also a hero of, you know, democratic socialist politics who wants everybody to get free money. You know, I don't know.
I think with him, things start as an argument, and then if you don't latch on to that, it's a totally different point that there's no way you can't argue with it. Billy, how do you fist somebody? I'm an adult and I've never done it. It seems overwhelming. Well, Keith, do you believe human beings are people? Like, what? Wait, what? I do. What? Okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to be so harsh. I just feel.
Nope. Stop calling Bianca harsh. She's frustrated.
I just think if you're making an argument, make it.
Right.
If you have a platform, speak it. And don't beat around the bush.
Yeah. I'm into it.
And if you never took a magic class, don't think you can trick me.
Listen.
Everybody that needs to take classes.
Exactly.
First. The poll was, what's deeper? And your choices were the movie Parasite or a fistable vagina.
Vagina.
That's what I believe. Mm. This is a very shallow movie.
Class warfare.
Yeah, class warfare. Oh, sure, sure.
Of course.
Yeah, that's deep. Yeah. You assholes. I knew you read the same article.
Fisting, that's a lot. That's a lot to consider.
Yeah.
So,
would you allow such a thing?
Would I fist Andrea? Sure. Okay. Whatever she wants.
That's true. Yeah.
It's her day.
Yeah.
I really care about her. So yeah, if that's what she wanted, I would do it in a heartbeat. We do have to move on.
Sure, yeah.
Episode.
See, you even answer that better than Billy would. At least Billy, just say you got to move on.
Problem Child with Gilbert Gottfried, the legend himself, mm-hmm. in the studio, post lasagna, pre ice cream. You got him right in the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. That's where you want him.
That's where he shines.
That's where you want Gilbert, between lunch and dessert, you know.
Well, to paint a full picture of the day, mm-hmm. We had only a New York recording first, and so he did eat in between things. So He him coming up the stairs, Keith, you expressed that. We were worried because this is two flights up. We're on the third floor. And when we first moved in here, there was a little huffing and puffing when we first. Now I think it's better. Yeah. So he's like 65 years old. He wasn't in, like when he came to the other studio, it was only two steps. And Keith had to hold him to walk down. So we were nervous. How'd it go?
You've seen Harvey Weinstein exaggerate his health in the news. It's like that, but
it's real.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So halfway through, after the first set of steps, I'm like, halfway through, not even a big deal. Here we go again. And I don't know, do I help, but am I embarrassing him? Do I stand? Do I say I'm right here so he can at least see me? Or is that too much? So I'm trying to figure out the distance where to stand. I know I'm making it a bigger deal than it is.
You carried his bag right away though, right?
But it's only 2 ounces, but he was happy to hand it to me.
Maybe next time just say free lasagna at the end of the stairs and he would just run.
Oh, no, he knew about that. I had to be like, because I talked to his wife in order to book him. And she at some point, we're like back and forth with dates. And she goes, you know him, he doesn't go anywhere where there's no free stuff. And I'm like, we're going to get him food. And she's like, And then I was telling Tracy, like, hey, we got to get this guy food. And she's like, I'm making a lasagna. And so we told him that, and that kind of helped book the gig.
We should have put pieces of lasagna on every other step.
But you could see he's kind of a little nervous because he knows Keith and me at this point. He has met Andrea, but when he first walked in, there were, you know, Tracy was there too, Julia was there, and it was just a little overwhelming for him, you can tell. And then they kind of cleared the room, and we sat there, and you can hear. As soon as, so he was on Only in New York first, and he's mostly looking at me because he knows me already. And then as soon as, like, I don't remember if it was Andrea or Tracy, said something really, like, fucked up. It was Andrea. Said something really fucked up. He was like, ha! And he was right in. He woke up. He's like, okay, no one's going to judge me for being like, because he's used to just saying
right.
stupid shit, you know?
He's so funny. Mm-hmm. I can't even believe that he's real.
I couldn't believe that I spilled a glass of water 2 seconds into the show.
That was very exciting. That was thrilling radio. And Gilbert's like, you got it on your balls. You know? And you're so professional, podcast. Were you freaking out?
No, it got on me.
Because you're dead inside? Or?
Well, it got on me as opposed to the equipment. That's all I would care about. But I'm like, I can't believe I'm just sitting in this shit. And then Andrea tells me she has extra underwear from a sponsor that nobody used, but after the show.
What were we going to do?
My balls are in my throat. I would have changed in the next room. I'm sitting in a fucking tub of water.
I can't believe you didn't have extra underwear.
Yeah.
I realized later I did after all. I'm like, oh, I have that sponsor too. I left one here just in case.
Extra underwear king.
Yeah, but my head was spinning. I couldn't even think about it.
Yeah, because right before there was a couple flubs. Like by accident, the music turned on in our headphones super loud. So you saw him like jumping out of his seat. And he's
Gilbert, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of like shook him a little bit. And something else happened. There was a false start. I heard
there was some weird noise. I don't know if it's somebody's stomach or what.
So by the time the water spilled, Keith is like, and the water's going to keep spilling and I'm going.
What else can happen? Right. Also, we got that big laugh from him right away about, kids know him as the parrot from Aladdin. Japan knows him as a big asshole,
yeah.
And he enjoyed that, and then the water spilled, and I'm like, I'm not starting over.
Yeah. He loved that. Yeah. He was in it.
But you can hear, if you hear it back, you can hear the laughter at the Japan comment, and then all of a sudden he stops, that's when the water spilled.
Did you knock it over with your hand?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And apparently Tech Andrew knew so.
He goes, I knew that was going to happen. I'm like, well, you can write in. Hey, idiot, you're going to hit your water.
Oh, because you were just...
I guess because it was on my left side and there's not much room there, I guess. But you know how people think...
You would put water there?
I wasn't thinking.
You know, this is a good thing to bring up now, mm-hmm. after 90 some odd episodes.
Yes.
I am shocked that you give these people water in an open container around your equipment.
We have thought of putting it with lids and straws, but you know people are going to get to the bottom of the water and you're going to hear the slurping sound, so we opted out of that. Sometimes they bring bottles. We ask them not to use that because then you can hear the crinkling of the bottle.
I do want to get little stools.
Okay.
Like next to it?
Yeah.
Mm. That's a good idea.
Andrea, that's a good idea.
Side tables. Andrea, that's a good idea.
Thank you. The poll was, has Gilbert Gottfried had sexual intercourse? Between the steps and his overall demeanor, I was curious. He does have two kids, but who knows? That wife could trick him easily, I feel like. We had sex. Yeah, sure. Okay. At first, I thought, I don't know how I'm going to vote. But then I did end up voting yes, I believe. Actually, he probably did. 65, he probably got it. Yes or no? 10% say no, he never had sex. But 90% believe he did, in fact, have sexual intercourse.
Keith, I'm a little offended that you're not taking the science seriously.
I wasn't sure. At first, I'd be like, if you found out he never had sex, would you be like, bullshit?
Yes.
Or would you be like, oh, I would be like, oh, okay, doesn't change my day.
Not that many times, sure.
Right.
But never? I don't know about that. Nah. He's no Goots.
Right.
I mean, Goots even has had sex one time.
Did he? Did he?
He hooked up. I know that.
I know he hooked up a lot.
Yeah. I love Gilbert's showbiz stories. And just listening to him tell a story about, and then I was in the room with Eddie Murphy. And he took a call and he said, yeah, I won't tell. And then he hung up. He said, she got fired. You know, it's just like, oh my gosh. This guy's been everywhere forever. Right. Just like a fixture. And it's so fun to hear him talk with you guys. And thanks for bringing him on.
It's fun.
I can't wait to hear the Only in New York episode.
Yeah, that's coming out in a couple weeks. Ooh. Only in New York.
Which reminds me, this Polish guy. Oh. I'm just like, oh boy. You mean a guy?
Right. Yeah, he starts in on that. We're just like, ooh.
You can make fun of Polish people, I think.
They don't mind?
Well, they're white people, so okay. I think it's fine.
Okay.
Did Andrea talk about fisting with Gilbert?
Mm.
Yes or no?
Did you bring it up, Andrea?
No, but other more offensive things
Other more offensive things.
Oh, okay. More offensive yes. things.
Hand clapping inside the box.
I took a boxing class in my vagina. Bing, 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 bing. Speed bag. Okay, guys, we have to end the show.
It's getting crazy.
Is there anything else you want to ask me? You know, how do I make it look so easy?
Well, you do. You have leukemia, of course, and you seem well. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I am fine-ish. My platelets are dropping again.
Good or bad?
Bad.
Okay.
Bad, bad, bad. So
we love platelets, right? We want more and more.
We want more than we've got. Okay. Let me tell you. They need to get their butts in gear.
Yeah.
So if everybody could just encourage them.
Oh, encourage.
Just think about my bones. Say like, oh, I'm thinking about Bianca. I'm thinking about her skeleton. I'm thinking about her bone marrow.
Okay.
And just say like a little, send up a little energy into the universe. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bianca's platelets, can you please get your fucking asses in gear because you're not showing up and she's going to bleed out without you.
I have there's nothing that really justifies this, but you know what I think? Bananas.
Well, there is some.
You really solved everything. Mm-hmm.
Some friend of my mom's from work was like, papaya leaf.
Stop it.
That'll do it. And then I asked the
doctor.
From
your mom's work, doesn't your mom work with cancer patients?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some herbal, but the doctor was like, no, there's no. So anyway, Wednesday, we'll get more labs done. Hopefully they'll be above 50,000. If 50, not.
50,000.
Yeah.
Why not say, yeah, this goofy idea is right. Let you feel good. You know what? We wait until the patient asks. Absolutely. Get on that. You're going to do great. Who cares? Why not?
Yeah.
Don't forget, April 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, Keith and the Girl events, including my stand-up. Bianca Brady will be at my stand-up show performing for you.
I wrote one joke.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I can't burn it.
Yeah. No.
But I did write one joke that I think is a real killer.
Okay. Yes, I'm so excited.
And then a 5-minute bow.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
And of course, on the 18th, at the end of the week, Bianca will do this show live and summarize the whole week. What creeper showed up and did weird things behind the scenes.
But in a nice way that's cool that we all like.
Yes.
Don't hate me, guys. I love you all so much.
It'll be fun. You guys get your super pass because it's at early bird prices right now.
Oh my
so not
God.
Only do you save on the individual tickets, you also save because it's early. It's not going to be early very soon. KeithandTheGirl.com/store.
These prices are insane.
They really are.
They really are, actually.
It's kind of stupid.
How are you guys making any money?
It's fun. We're just having fun.
We're going to be living in a glue factory by Thursday. The way things are going.
Platelets, platelets, platelets. Get those platelets going. Platelets, platelets up. Bianca's bones. Plate them up, plate them up, plate them up.
Plate them up.
Plate them up, plate them up, plate them up. Platelets now. KeithandTheGirl.com.